Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Whether your radio dial is set to music or news or talk, each could be offensive.
But when it comes to making waves on the air, dicey language and spicy topics are turning up all over the dial. If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves. Turn on your radio and find wholesome family entertainment. Turn on your radio today and make your mother blush.
Almost nothing is sacred these days when it comes to radio, except not losing the station's license. Radio personalities are pushing all the limits. You may find the language in this story explicit, but the Federal Communications Commission has never fined a Tampa Bay radio station. You be the judge. Are they airwaves or shockwaves?
I don't agree with all of it, but it's very popular.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, episode 479, live stream slash podcast slash radio program. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, my name's Will Koontz. You can hear me normally on 102.5 The Bone with Johnny B. And with me, I have Anna Hummel, co-host of the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show and some sort of animal. Hello, Anna.
Hi, I'm putting this cat in rear naked real quick because it's being annoying.
That's gonna get us potentially a lot of clout. If you kill an animal on YouTube, I think that could go a long way, and I endorse it.
There's kind of a blueprint with some of the people I work with in terms of torturing and killing animals, and it seems like it does a lot of good things for their career. So I'm gonna just follow that and see where it takes me.
I mean, it couldn't hurt. It couldn't get any worse. At this point, really. I mean, what more do you have to lose?
Exactly. Well, everything to gain and not much to lose is a place I like to be.
I like to live on the edge. You know, that's a freeing spot. When you have stuff, that's when you're like, oh God, I can't. When you have like nothing, I could literally, the things that I own in this tiny apartment that I live in, I mean, I could just walk away from everything. I mean, there might be some things where I'd be like, oh, dang it. I kind of wanted that. But not really. I could just, if I needed to leave town, if something happened, let's say something happened where I had nothing to lose and I did something awful and heinous, I could just leave within minutes and be on the road. That's a very freeing place to be.
Yeah, and I've said this before, I know we've talked about it, but during natural disasters, and in Florida, that's obviously hurricanes, there's nothing better than being poor, because you're not worried about your yacht, you're not worried about your mansion, whatever, dude, that's what my response, oh no, my 2010 Toyota Camry might get flooded, what leper will I do, you know, so you just, you care less, which I like.
There are downsides. There are downsides of having nothing, which is you don't have anything mostly. But there are other things. I'm going to tell you a story. I didn't even talk about it on the Johnny B show. I wanted to save it for this podcast and talk about it with you, because I don't know why, but we get more engagements on like bodily functions more than anything else. Farts, poo-poo, you know, things of that nature. And something happened to me, and I think that you'll enjoy it. I believe that animal will enjoy it that you're holding up right now. And I think the people will enjoy it. You know, usually if you don't have anything, it usually means you don't have anything. You don't have any money to buy things with. That's usually the things. We've talked about it many times before. We're not complaining necessarily, but it's part of our life. And it's a big deal when you don't really have that like middle class aristocrat kind of lifestyle, that bougie life. You find ways to cut corners, because I like the finer things. Okay, I mean, I like expensive bourbons, I like steaks, I like cigars. You know, those are really my vices, and they tend to add up over time. And there's ways to still have those things, but you have to, there's a trade-off if you have these things. Winn-Dixie famously, I don't know, you don't eat meat, so you're not familiar with this, but they tend to have great deals, great bargains on steaks, but usually if they're a little old, you know what I'm saying? Like they're right at the tail end of being spoiled. But if you cook them right away, they're fine. Usually. I went ahead and bought this steak, a nice ribeye from Winn-Dixie, had the yellow tag on it.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was like $5.50, which is pretty cheap for a cut of, especially steak now. And I go, well, I'm going to take it home and cook it right now. So let's do it. I opened it up and I flipped it over after taking it out of the package. And it was a little gray, a little brown, not really red like you would picture meat to be. And then I gave it a little whiff and it didn't really smell all that great. In fact, it smelled a little spoiled. But I go, all right, well, I'll just cut this part off, which is, I think, the spoiled part. The rest of it's probably fine. And I lied to myself. I did it then. I coated it with olive oil. I put a lot of spices on it, and I threw it on the grill. Tasted fine. I ate it. Tasted fine. You know, no problems. Then, like, immediately, as soon as I was done with dinner, I had to run to the can. Things started happening when I was on the can. And but I figured, oh, okay, well, now it's taken care of. We're all good. The next day, Anna, I have to go see my daytime boss. He offers to buy me lunch and link up. So I was like, okay. The place we ate at is right next to the Publix that I shop at. So I went, okay, so I wasn't trying to save money on this go around. I went to Publix, not Winn-Dixie. Okay, so that's where we're at. I get like, my butt itches. I don't know why. It's just like if like the inside area is really itchy and I'm not really understanding what's going on. I'm like, was something in that chair that I was sitting in at the restaurant? What is going on? I had to cut my shopping trip short. I went home only to discover that I didn't poop my pants, but I pooped my butt. Does that make any sense? My cheeks. I something happened in there. I didn't pass gas, to my knowledge. It was like a toddler with a runny nose. It just kind of seeped out. It was an old man eating pudding type of scenario where it must have just kind of leaked out.
But it didn't reach your underwears?
It didn't reach the undies. I checked.
But it was between your cheeks or it was like on the rim of your butthole?
I mean, I didn't delve too far in because yeah. I just didn't. But at one point I thought about like, well, if it's itchy, scratch it. But, you know, I was trying to find a discreet place where I could, do that. But I was in a grocery store. So I just was like, I'll just hold out and I'll scratch it when I get home. Only to discover that I pooped my butt in Publix. I mean, I've had accidents before. Everybody's had accidents before it happens. But I've never had one that I didn't know about. And that's what was truly concerning about this one.
Was it just a little bit or was it like a significant?
It was enough. I mean.
To cause concern.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw it. I was like, oh, my God. When I saw it, I didn't expect that at all.
And you only obviously saw it on the toilet paper.
In fact, I used a paper towel on this go around because I wanted to be sure just in case. And thank God I did, because if I used toilet paper, I would have got my hand in it. And
so it wasn't just like a little bit of a smudge.
No, it was a toddler with a runny nose. That's what my butt decided to do on this day.
Huh?
A mudslide, as Mark Carr says. Yes, precisely. But Mark, what was really troubling about this, like I said, it wasn't usually you get a warning, like you go, you toot or something, and then you go, uh-oh, I need to go check to make sure everything's okay. Had none of that. It just kind of
seeped out.
I mean, like, I'm afraid that this is going to happen again. I'm butt shy now. I'm afraid that I'm going to be in a situation where this is going to happen again, and I'm not going to have any access to like paper towels at my home. I'm afraid to leave the house.
Most people that happen with COVID, but you know, sometimes when you have a bad cut of meat, I guess that you can have a similar effect. So, I just feel like one time is really not enough. And it seems like you have no other point of reference other than this. Is that correct? Like this is the first time.
First time it's ever happened with no warning. I mean, like I said, usually there's some sort of, I don't know, noticeable, like, there's some sort of alarm here.
Yeah. Huh.
Mark says, did you get bubble guts first? No. I think it was the beef. Honestly, it was some sort of condition with the beef where it just kind of, I don't know. I guess you said mudslide. I guess that's the right way to say it. I don't know. But you would feel a mudslide. You would feel it.
Well, it seems like it manifested in an itch instead of a like slimy, swamp ass feeling. It manifested in a different way.
The itch was the actual... I'm sorry, everyone. You know, I feel bad for Radio St. Pete audience. They're listening to jazz, and then all of a sudden this comes on, and it's just like doo-doo. I'm sorry, everybody. A lot of people don't like doo-doo.
I just
need to solve this mystery about how there was no warning signs. Like, I'm just concerned about the elasticity and the closing ability.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Of that.
Yes. How retractable.
Right.
You know, right. It's like you gave birth as a woman and now it's just kind of a little loose. You're really hoping it goes back to stock settings, but it sounds like it hasn't.
I'm approaching 40 years old. And, you know, as you age, parts of your body age and start to break down. Your knee joints, you know, your.
Everything starts to degenerate, and I've much like the people that we sometimes watch on the internet, I've become not obsessed but very interested in learning how to prevent aging and B, reverse aging, and because yeah, it's a real thing where your body just starts to break down and when you don't want it to. So I've been seriously looking into getting my biological age tested. I know that our friend, Dr. David Sinclair, talks a lot about this. I've also re-looked into the NMN thing. I think either did you get that or was it resveratrol? I can't remember. Which
I did both. I did both at one point. I stopped taking both of those things because I read a study that the MNN or N.
MNN, yeah. Don't ask me what it stands for. It's long.
Yeah, it's something weird. But that's what David Sinclair takes, and it supposedly is linked to brain cancer. So I was just like, I was taking so many pills.
It could be a 25-year-old with brain cancer instead of 60. So
right. Yeah, I was taking so many pills. I was like, I just need to downsize the pills that I take. I was taking so much stuff. I mean, it looked like I had AIDS. Like, what if I took them in public? People were like, what is going on? It would be like a bag full of these vitamins. It's all different things. My fish oil, my calcium, my turmeric, and my fish oil. Yeah, there was just so much stuff. So now I got it down to fish oil, calcium, greens, just like normal, whatever greens stuff, multivitamin. And I take a prebiotic now.
Yeah. I've done no research on this topic, so I like to speak with authority on things I don't know anything about. I completely gave up all vitamins supplements. I got into a vitamin cycle when COVID hit and thought I needed to start, you know, supplementing vitamin C and zinc and turmeric and this biotin. And then I was like, you know what? Let me go off all this stuff because it's not a cheap habit. Let me go off all this stuff and see if I feel any different. I feel 0% different. And I haven't taken any vitamins for 2 months, 3 maybe. So I think it's a waste. But also I have no baseline. So that is the next goal for me, is to get a full blood panel of everything from, you know, the triglycerides, the cholesterol, the hormones, all that sort of stuff, so that I can say with confidence that I actually am healthy and I'm not dying.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you should do that. You're no spring chicken either.
No, I don't want to talk about it, but I'll be a new number soon.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? Me too.
Yes. Yes, it's not good.
Very scary. Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing on the weekends, I do a show called The Weekly Checkup on the Bone, where I talk to doctors, healthcare professionals, whatever. And there's a big sponsor of that show is Lifeguard Imaging. And they do full body scans, where they'll kind of scan your whole body and make sure you don't have any plaque buildup in your heart, you know, cancers, anything like that.
Like an MRI or?
Kind of, yeah. This is the same product. This is not sponsored by Lifeguard, by the way. Some people are probably clicking off because they hear Lifeguard all the time on the Bone. This is just something that I did. And it was cool. It was like you go in a MRI machine donut type of thing. It's like 5 minutes. And then they kind of scan your whole body. And then they give you a report based off of, you know, what they find in there, what they don't find. Mine was good. I'm like really healthy.
Do they measure exactly?
They measure your calcium score in your heart. It's whatever your buildup is.
Okay.
That's in your arteries and stuff. I had none of that.
Good.
Zero. And they didn't find anything else. My prostate was a little enlarged, but I'm approaching 40, so that's bound to happen.
Yeah.
That was good. So maybe that's something you want to think about.
Yeah. Not to use you as a metric, but if obviously I don't have a prostate, but if you were fine at the calcium, like, I'm probably fine.
Well, you would think so.
You don't know, and there's a lot of genetic components, and
right.
You know, men and women differ.
That's
an inflammatory statement, but listen, the more information, the better, I always say, unless the information is bad, in which case I don't want to know. But hey, I need that for Cinco de Mayo, you little.
Hannah's got the cat that she has to chase. Oh, did you put that on the cat?
No, the cat stole it and I just took it back.
Oh, you should put it on the cat. That would be adorable.
No, because it's gonna ruin it. Like, it ruins everything. But no, I'm certainly interested in that, especially if I can get it for $3.99. So it was like 4 years ago. I got a DEXA scan because I was interested in just essentially my the makeup of your body, how much your bone density, lean mass, fat percentage, and it's pretty much the gold standard for most of those things, pretty accurate, especially for bone density. And that's when I found out my bones were made out of cheese. So that was cool. But again, more information the better. And that's when I started taking calcium, because you bought me some calcium for Christmas. But guess what? I took all those pills and then just never bought more.
Oh my God.
That worked. Yeah. Yeah.
Not good, Anna.
Not good. Not good.
See, that's something where the supplements actually do come in handy. If you're actually low in something,
right,
that can help you. You're a frail woman. You need to take your bones. You have birds' bones, and you need to take, they're hollow, you see. And that's why you need to take calcium, because you don't want to get osteoporosis.
Correct. Yes. But I do eat a pretty well-balanced diet, and I do weight train, which are two things that you can do to improve your bone density, but that didn't seem to be working. So my plan was, I'll just build more muscle to protect, to encase the bones. So when I do hit the floor on my fragile bones, I'll have enough muscle to protect them. That's my game plan. Don't argue with it.
Silence, ho!
Shut up, bitch!
I forgot I had that. yeah, well, that's good. That's good. You should do those things. You should also take calcium, because you have bird bones and they're hollow. Yeah. And you want to fill those bones with calcium. And I gave you the technology. That's a cheap supplement too, Anna. You don't even have to.
I know. And I've looked and I'm like, how effective is it really? How much is my body really absorbing of this? I don't know. I think that my best bet is to just go back and see if there's been any improvement. Probably hasn't. And if there hasn't, I do feel like now, as we age, it becomes more important to stay attuned to the problems that you're facing with your body, because they're only going to get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. So that's, you know, that's a concern. And, you know, the lifeguard scan did not pick up anything wrong with my backside. So I guess I'm okay. And the mystery, I guess, will kind of linger on. I'll certainly keep everybody updated of the, mudslide back there, but I seem to be okay. I haven't suffered from any other incidents since that day, but it is something that I worry about. And, you know,
can I give you one more thing to worry about and possibly ask your, either the, what is it called? The lifetime?
Lifeguard.
Yeah. Either ask them maybe if you end up doing another show with them or someone else who's a healthcare professional that, you know, gives you access to cool tests to take. But what I really like health, fitness, nutrition, things of that nature interest me. So I've been told that the best metric to look for in terms of health when it relates to things like chronic metabolic issues like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, things that cause people to die often, especially as they age. The number one metric to look for to see if you're, you know, a healthy individual in that regard is to see how much visceral fat you have. Not to be confused with subcutaneous fat, which is like the fat right underneath your skin, but there's fat literally like in and around like your organs. And that's really the fat that you have to be careful about. That's the fat that leads to like diabetes and the heart disease and the cancer and things like that. So if you can find out how much visceral fat you have, that is very important information, very useful information into a window of how healthy you are. So maybe if you can get that sort of exam, which I think is similar to an MRI, ask your lifeguard doctor team if there's something. I would like to get that test because the amount of visceral fat you should have is zero. You should have none of it. You know, subcutaneous fat, fine. You should know. That's not saying you shouldn't have a little, you know, cushion. Absolutely. But if you start getting fat around your organs, that's really when things start to take a turn downhill. So,
yeah, I'm not sure, but that is something I'll ask. I'm always looking for new things to ask them. So yes.
Ask if there's how you can test your visceral fat.
Okay. Can you text that to me? So yes. I can write it down later. Yes. You don't have to do it right now, but
yeah, I'll do it after the show.
Yeah. If you remember. Yeah, because I always look for new things because it's a lot of the same stuff that we talk about.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I don't really know. I'm sure mine is high. I can only guess by looking at the outside of me. I would assume that there's a lot on the inside.
A lot of problems on the inside.
Yeah. But you know, I've had one of these days, Anna, where it's I think about. Like trying to find another job, a day job, and work both jobs. But after today at my job, I don't know if I could do that. It was a rough one. So I didn't really, I didn't want to get too political here, but I didn't have a chance to kind of pull fun stuff. There was some fun stuff that I was thinking about, but I couldn't find it in the few minutes I had just before we started here tonight. But I do have some news that we could talk about that's going to be evergreen this week and or even still be kind of new with,
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
I think you want to talk about the new Barbie doll that's coming out.
No, but that is good. I did send that to Johnny B and he liked that. I wanted to talk about Joe Biden. He's announced that he is running.
He really is evergreen, you know? He'll live forever.
He is evergreen here. He's seeking re-election. He had this campaign video that came out. I don't know if you saw it, but it looks like
we saw it. We spent about an hour and a half on it on the show.
I find it amazing. Like, I don't care if you don't like Republicans or whatever, but I find it fascinating whenever you meet somebody in the wild that is like, I like Joe Biden. He's doing good. He's doing a great job. And I guess it depends on what your values are. Like if you're into, you know, equity or something, then he's doing a great job. If that's your number one value, then I guess I could get that. But the people that say they like Joe Biden, at least in my life, are just like, he's
better than Trump.
Yeah, but there's some people who actually do like him and think he's doing a good job. And then when you ask why, they're just kind of like, I don't know. But I like him. He's cool. He's America's grandfather and he's our president and he rocks.
Yeah.
Should I play some of this? You said you already saw it, but maybe some people out there didn't.
Let's go ahead and play it though.
Okay. Freedom. Personal freedom is fundamental to who we are as Americans. There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred. That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms, cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy, dictating what healthcare decisions women can make, banning books.
Banning books, Anna.
Yeah.
Just for no reason. Reason at all.
It is horrendous that they're banning erotic, gay, pornographic books from third grade libraries. I agree. Disgusting. This is basically like Nazi Germany burning books. Disgusting.
You know what I found, Anna? Like that, a lot of people don't know that. That a lot of smart, I'm not even talking about dumb people. I'm talking like smart, high IQ, or at least above average IQ individuals. They don't really know anything, but they have very strong opinions. There was two people I kind of tested, and I started talking about Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan Mulvaney is the
Bud Light.
Bud Light guy. Bud Light chick. Guy chick. Whatever.
Watch it.
I know.
Watch it.
And I was talking about the Kid Rock thing and how absurd the premise is of Bud Light's, you know, endorsement of this person, and also how absurd the reactions are. And I think that nobody really, I get the people being upset, but I don't think they understand why they're upset. And I was, you know, talking to a friend about Kid Rock, and they were talking about Kid Rock. This is kind of old news now, ancient. But Kid Rock, you know, took a machine gun to Bud Light and told Anheuser-Busch to go F itself because of this social media endorsement that Bud Light gave this Dylan Mulvaney character. And like, I heard people talking about how basically they just say that he hates gay people now. And I'm like, well, I don't think that's true. And then they tried to own him by showing him drinking Bud Light, like pictures of him from the past with transgendered individuals. Like, I'm pretty sure he had him in his music videos and stuff. This one's different because that person, Dylan Mulvaney, isn't just like a trans person, but claims to be female, like making a concrete statement. And I think it's butting up against, you know, the reality of the situation. And that's what they're upset about. It's not that that person exists. It's the fact that they're making this claim. And I don't think Kid Rock understands why he's upset either. But do you understand what I'm saying?
I think it's almost like sometimes the reaction is like contagious, you know? Like your team starts getting upset and you're just like, oh, this is what we do. It's just, and you don't even really know why. It's almost like an allergic reaction to something. And it's like, well, can you really break down why you're upset? Or can you really break down why, you know, either side is, why the response is making you upset, you know, whatever it may be. And I think a lot of it is just knee jerk, tribal kind of dog whistles. Like if there's a rainbow on anything you like, you must boycott, you know, and you must boycott aggressively. And the other way as well, where it's like,
you're going to stick a rainbow on everything.
Yeah.
And you have to accept, you have to celebrate. That's where the difference is there. And we're kind of like, it's under those two different frames of just like acceptance. And well, you're kind of forcing it on everybody here. It used to be acceptance. And now it's like we have to celebrate it and wear the ribbon, you know, the right. Seinfeld reference. And if we don't, we're bad people. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. Screw you. And then you're a bigot. No, I'm not. And then you're just into nobody's speaking to each other, speaking two completely different languages. I heard Calta talking about this too. They're like, oh, well, Kid Rock, you know, he's drinking Coors Light now, but Coors Light is a sponsor of the biggest LGBTQ parade, pride parade in Denver or something. It's not, he doesn't hate gays, guys. It has nothing to do with pride. It has to do with this person making a concrete claim that they are female. And it's like, I don't care if it's a casual type of thing, but when you're making a claim like that, you go, well, I mean, if you look at your chromosome, like, I'm sorry, but you're not, but you're making that claim that you are. And then that's a major company endorsing that claim. This is different than just like RuPaul. Like RuPaul had commercials in the 90s with Pepsi and nobody cared. It's a different thing. And it's making, when you're trying to make that concrete truth claim, I think that's where people are having the issue. And it's nothing to do with gay. Like, that's what I didn't understand. Kid Rock does not care about LGBTQ people. He's, in fact, embraced them in the past. And I'm sure he probably still does, believe it or not. But just there's that people like, no, he just hates that community. That's what it is. And I go, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the difference with RuPaul, forget about like the concrete statements. I think what the difference now is RuPaul was just representing himself. He was just a character or a caricature or whatever he is. His drag queen. I think he identifies as male. Who knows?
Yeah, he lives his life as male. His character is RuPaul.
He was just a celebrity that was endorsing something. Whereas now, it's not, you know, just Dylan Mulvaney that's the face of the of Bud Light or whatever. It's his, so their, whatever, her association with this movement. It's not just I'm a celebrity, I'm Beyonce, I'm RuPaul, I'm Taylor Swift.
They're
it's
famous like, for that reason.
Right. You're famous for your transition.
Exactly. And
ergo, you know, everything that you endorse is endorsing this agenda that you have. It's
correct. Not
I'm a person that likes Pepsi or likes Bud Light. It's that if you have to now accept not only like my lifestyle, my narrative, my agenda, it's a whole slew of things that you have to co-sign on if you now consume the product. And a lot of people are not on board with that. And I don't blame them. Leave them alone, especially when you insult like that marketing executive. I think the first of the two that got put on executive leave, administrative leave. You know, she seemed to insult her base consumers basically saying that they were ignorant bigots. And she's trying to change the face of this brand, this Bud Light brand. Well, you're offending the people that are buying your product, like the mass majority of people that are buying your product. You're a moron, you know, and I said this on Bubba's show, but I was like, now, had you done like a Bud Light seltzer with Dylan Mulvaney, I think that probably would have gone over a lot better, because who typically drinks that? Women are a bit more to the left. You know, there's a whole, you would have been able to kind of like expand in this one area while also keeping your base happy, but they didn't do that because they're dumb.
Yeah, there's a comment that drives me absolutely insane that they're only doing it for money. They're only doing it for money. They've lost. Whenever something happens, okay, whenever something controversial happens, and I guess there's some truth to getting a lot of free media, and you can count that into making money or something, because this was a huge media cycle. I mean, weeks and weeks and weeks of Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light. So, I mean, I guess you could make that argument, and they'll be back. Like, I was going to go buy the stock because they were like, the stock is just crashed. And then I was like, really? Well, Bud Light's not going anywhere. So I'm going to go buy, you know, dump a few hundred bucks into this stock and double up in 6 months. But I looked at it and it's still way up over the past few years. When you take out the graph from this week and look at the big dip from the Dylan Mulvaney crisis, you zoom out a little bit and it's like, it's still up like 20% from 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's not crashed, but that's again, you know, whatever your preferred media is, taking a story. That's my thing. It's like, you can zoom in or zoom out on a graph and get two different stories. That's what drives me insane. It's so hard to find the truth that way. And you can lie with data. Even if you have data, you can manipulate it by zooming in or zooming out and tell two completely different narratives. And that's really hard. I mean, to figure out what's going on. And when you're depending on journalists or whoever to kind of tell you what's going on, you got to understand that they're doing that. So you better just look it up yourself. Don't trust anybody.
Right.
So I ended up not buying that stock, but I mean, like, Bud Light's not going anywhere. And it was interesting hearing that lady who, I guess signed off on the campaign. I don't even know if she did that, but she definitely took the heat for it. I'm not sure what she was responsible for and what she wasn't, but can you imagine like a cigarette company? Like, this is alcohol. She was like, we need to get younger. We need younger drinkers to drink Bud Light. Like, can you imagine if it was like Cool Cigarette saying this? I mean, that would be weird, right?
Yeah. What is the point you're trying to make, that like beer isn't healthy? And so, but I mean, their goal is to make money. And I guess on some level, they thought that they would with this. They thought, like, if we're trying to attract younger people to drink our product, let's say they're going to drink something, let's make sure it's ours. How do we convince them to do that? Oh, well, most young people are liberal. Let's say that. Okay, great. But what they didn't realize is most beer drinkers are, you know, or let's say Bud Light drinkers are people maybe from certain types of backgrounds and have more conservative values and, you know, didn't want to be told that they were dumb, ignorant bigots and that they should be, you know, welcoming to have this character who is a LGBT plus whatever thing. And that they had to accept that and drink the product. You know, I get the backlash. They didn't want to deal with that. And they're just like, there's very few things that are left untouched by like politics and everything. The last thing that they want to do is, you know, while they're drinking their beer with their buddies, be drinking it out of a rainbow can. And I can't say that I blame them, you know?
Yeah. But the thing of, well, it's just money. It's just money. Like, yes, companies' goal is to make money, you would think. But I don't think that's the most important thing. I think now that power of these corporations are used in conjunction with government to kind of endorse and credential a narrative. And I think that, you know, you find that for whatever reason, a lot of these corporations, universities, media, and now our government, they all tend to agree with each other. And there's no like connection between those things directly, but they all seem to be connected and they all seem to have an opinion. And then you can use the power of, obviously Joe Biden is totally on board with this Dylan Mulvaney thing too.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Bud Light is, and Nike is, and universities are telling us that he's right. And it's like, everybody knows that it's wrong. I mean, like, I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I'm just saying, like, I have a problem with the truth claim and what is in reality and what isn't. Like, if you look at, I'm sorry, if you look at his skeleton, it's going to show that he's male. And it's like, you can live your life as whatever you want, but when you're making that concrete claim, that's what people have the problem with. That's what Kid Rock has a problem with, but he doesn't know it. But that's what he has a problem with, and that's where people are running into these really strong reactions. But you're having to credential people at universities and telling them that, no, he's actually right. Even though, you know, it's not. It's obvious. You don't have to have a college degree to know that.
Right. I would argue against you and say that it always boils down to money. You know, and much like you talk about zooming in and zooming out, a lot of times you take chances on things and they don't go in your favor. I think on some level they really thought that this was going to increase sales and they're wrong. You know, I don't think, and maybe there is something to say about taking a short-term hit for long-term gain. You know, they go, this is the direction the country is going, so let's get on board with it now. It might be a little avant-garde to endorse this, you know, have this trans person endorse our product, But in the long run, it's going to serve us well. And you also have to think about these big companies and like how they do tie into the government with like lobbyists and endorsing campaigns of people that may win and then may make legislation that helps them in the future. So I would say it all boils down to money, but in the sense that you're taking a risk to make money. Like that's always the goal. It may not turn out that way, but the goal is to try to make more money.
Look, it's a smart move aligning yourself with power always.
Yeah.
Right. So it makes sense to align yourself with the government because they hold that power. And in the short term, you're right. Maybe over the long term, it will be profitable. I don't think it's going to be for this reason, but I do believe the stock will come back. And I do believe that people will forget and we'll go back to drinking Bud Light as, you know, people went back to eating Chick-fil-A, the majority of those people.
It may not have made the money this time around, obviously, but it did give them a lot of information about a blind spot that they may have had. So, you know, it was a valuable move, even though it led to a heavy loss. It gave them a lot of intel into, okay, that doesn't work. So let's not do that again. So, you know, maybe with their subsidiary companies or, you know, the umbrella company, you know what I mean? So they can avoid future losses in the future.
But, you know, there's Maybelline just went in and did the same thing and made the same mistake. So I don't know.
Maybelline's consumer base. That's a lot different than Bud Light's. So.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I feel like the connection, though, between these institutions, how there doesn't seem to be any sort of connection to them, but there always are, is you look at that lady who supposedly signed off on this deal and she did that interview, which I think came out before this happened. I think it was like a podcast that came out a few months before this endorsement of Dylan Mulvaney. But she came from the Ivy Leagues. She came from Harvard and then went to business school at Wharton and was very prestigious, where they learn about equity and they learn about anti-racism and it's part of their curriculum. And then they come out of these schools and it used to be like you come into the real world and you kind of forget about that nonsense and you have to deal with the real world here. But then they become VP at Bud Light. And then they take that ideology and use their company to kind of push those things as they did with this this endorsement here. So there is like a weird connection between government and university. I mean, all cabinets, you know, cabinet positions come from the Ivy Leagues, right? Mostly.
Go ahead.
And then typically, too, if you work for corporations, like a lot of Twitter's people went to work in Democratic senators, you know, comms divisions, and then they go back and then they switch back and forth. So there's like this weird, I don't know, it's like an ether where these things don't appear to be aligned, but they clearly are.
Yeah, I would say that it's that where they do have an agenda that they're trying to push. But also, and this is just speculation, because they exist in such an echo chamber, in their mind, every time they see young people, they're always liberal. So they're like, oh, all young people that go to college and drink our beers, they're all liberal. They all think like me. Of course they do. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. But they think that, you know, it's like the podunk rural Oklahoma people, you know, which are just a small minority of people. Those are the people that have backwards thinking, but the rest of us are progressive and we think this way, but they don't realize that they're really kind of in the minority. But she's in this echo chamber where she's like, oh yeah, every young person I meet and see and who's on TV or whatever, all of Hollywood, they're all liberal. They all think like me. So of course they're going to embrace this with open arms. But this is exactly, you know, why no one saw the Trump win of 2016 coming, right? We're always like, there's no way he can win. This is a shoo-in for Hillary. Well, was it? No. It's the same sort of thinking where you put yourself in an echo chamber and you're just kind of have blinders on to how like the majority or at least, you know, around half of the population thinks. And it's not like you. So I think that's kind of where her blind spot was, is she just was, she lives in an echo chamber and everyone around her thinks like her. So she just assumed this was going to be, you know, a shoo-in.
Yeah. I mean, potentially, I think it's more insidious than that. I think they're told, you know, take these values, the right way of doing things, and take these new positions that you will hold since you are credentialed by Harvard and by the Wharton School, and you're going to land a job that's going to be very important and very high ranking, and use it to promote these ideas.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're doing. And it's totally endorsed by government. Obviously, media's, you know, in the bag too, because a lot of these, especially the ones that work at the New York Times, whatever, are also Harvard grads or somewhere from the Ivy Leagues. And they just all, that's really the head of the snake. And the battle will be won when tanks roll into Harvard Yard, is a famous saying. And I think that's probably the truth. Anna, thanks so much for your time today. I know you got to get out of here.
Break some boards.
Break some boards, do some karate. And I thank you for your
time.
Thank
you, Will. I'll see you soon. Bye.
That's it, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. Follow me, home_made_man, Instagram and Twitter, willsyoutube.com. Join us on Wednesdays for a live stream, and have a good one. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.